Hey, this is John Acuff with the Catalyst Podcast. We're down at the Catalyst Dallas event, and I'm excited today to be joined by Princess Zulu. Great to meet you. I can't wait to hear more of your story. Tell us a little about that. How did you end up at the Catalyst event today?
Absolutely, John. Thank you for having me, first of all. It's very exciting for me to be here. One of the things that I've been thinking about, even in my own life, is that I think you all have to realize, or we all have to realize, that we are all catalysts in some ways. Mm-hmm. And I think when I heard I was being invited to the Catalyst conference, I was very excited about that. My background is that I'm from Zambia. And I've been speaking on the issues of HIV and AIDS and orphans and vulnerable children for some time now. I started off in 1997 when I learned that I was HIV positive myself. And in 1997, it was a time when people didn't want to talk about AIDS, especially for a young woman like me who was only 21 years old. And then only to learn that actually that was the very same disease that took my mother and my father as well and forced me to become the head of the house. I took care of 8 other children. So I just wanted to share my story and just to help others not be in my situation. And little did I know that I was becoming this leader in my own community, in my own country, Zambia. And then, of course, world events began to take place. In 2003, I was invited to speak at the White House, and that led to President George Bush then committing $15 billion. I was then invited the year that followed in 2004. I was scheduled to meet with former Prime Minister then, Tony Blair, but ended up not happening, but made with a lot of his Secretary of State as well as members of Parliament. That laid a lot of increase for aid for Zambia in particular, especially also for orphans and vulnerable children. Then other countries began to invite me, countries like Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Germany, and Spain. And then also I did a lot of AIDS conferences. But in the U.S., I also became privileged to speak in churches, to speak like at Willow Creek was one of the first churches I spoke at. Saddleback Church did some services there. And then I went to the Porter's House, spoke there as well, did some services. And really, I've done the Urbana Conference. And I've just recently released my book called Warrior Princess. It is a book that was published by InterVarsity. And again, even within that, it's just calling each one of us that there is a leader in each one of us. And of course, I share my time between Zambia and the U.S. And I'm a mother of 5 adopted children and 2 biological ones, so 7 children. And I have a husband. So at 35 years, I think I get around.
I just got a little tired hearing the description of that. I'm not living that. That is amazing. You so casually said so many interesting things. You said, well, I was at the White House and I took care of 8 people in my mm-hmm. household and my children. I have 7 different children. Mm-hmm. So how do you stay grounded in the midst of what sounds like a really exciting adventure that God's called you to step into?
Yeah, I think one of the things is to realize that, you know, when God gives you a calling in this world, he equips you as well. Mm-hmm. I know it has almost become as like a cliche, you know, around Christians, that when God calls you, he equips you. But I mean it from the bottom of my heart. You are looking at a testimony of a girl who was just a village girl in Zambia, who didn't even know some of the words I'm able to use today, who dropped out of school in 11th grade. And I think for me, what was really great is that I learned very on that, you know, you can be a leader without having a title. And I think a lot of young leaders and even leaders in general sometimes, they wait until they have a title. And I have learned that you don't have to have a title. And, you know, you can be a leader is acknowledging that there is someone looking to you. And there are issues of our time which look different to each one of us. And you know, that is my core and my challenge, especially as we go 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now. It is how can people understand that they are leaders in their own rights with it could be in the family, it could be in the church, it could be in companies. And I have amazingly realized that people are waiting to hear for whatever we have to offer. So I think to each one of us, it is to find that one thing that either disturbs us so badly or that we are so passionate about and begin to run with it.
I love the word disturbed, mm-hmm. the kind of the sense of being stirred up about something.
Absolutely.
What are some of the surprises you've seen God do along the way? Because I think he loves to surprise us when we think we have a plan and we think it's about this, and he just changes the whole script. What are some of the surprises you experienced?
Oh, my whole life is a surprise.
Other than Zambia down to this table, White House.
Indeed, it is a surprise for me. The other way that I would use it, it's a miracle. I was told I'll only live for 6 months when I found out I was HIV positive. And, you know, I have gone not only to have a wealthy, good life in the sense that I'm alive. That's worthy for me, for a person who was told who die in less than 6 months. And here I am, 35 years old. For me, I get excited. I'm looking forward to be 40 and 50 and 60, you know, and I say it's just getting started, you know. So I think sometimes when you have a tragedy, so to speak, or a situation that is very much beyond your ability, I think you can either choose to break down or to say, you know what, I'm not going to become a victim, but hold on to God in a way that maybe I wouldn't have hold on to God if I didn't have HIV. And so I think in many ways, I want to say that HIV has been a blessing in disguise. You know, I've talked about that even in my book. But my husband is American. Is very much blue eyes, blonde hair. That is a surprise, you know.
As a village girl in Zambia, that wasn't in the picture.
Hey, it was never there. And even when I go to the family meetings, I'm sure, you know, I stand out. So, lack of a better way. But it's the beauty of God. You know, my co-author is Belinda Collins from Australia. Mm-hmm. Not only is she my co-author, she's become a great dear sister. You know, we love each other so hard that we want to kill each other as well. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, here you are, a Zambian and an Australian girl writing this book. So you have Africa there, you have the Down Under country writing together this amazing book that is just calling on this beautiful friendship, but also saying, hey, in each one of us, there is a time and a legacy we need to leave behind. And what will you choose for it to be?
That is awesome. One of the things that just in our initial conversation before we even turn on the mics, you just laugh and it's infectious and there's a joy that bubbles out of you. How do you start your day that way? What does it look like for you to be plugged into that? Because it's a really neat thing to experience and see.
You know, John, everyone talks about my laughter. I think if you know anyone, let's say from AT&T or Verizon, I need to sell my laughter as a ringtone
and make
some money out of it, you know, and maybe help the poor somewhere. But really, I think the challenge is that when people see someone on stage like me, they forget that you have been in down moments as well. Mm-hmm. Now, it is a deliberate decision I make on a daily basis to be joyful. It's a decision that I make to say, you know what, regardless of my circumstances, I'm going to be hopeful. It may look blank, but I'm going to be hopeful. Today, as I'll be doing my lab sessions here at the Catalyst Conference, I'm talking about just taking courage, which is the theme of the conference. But how do we learn even from people like Joshua, where in chapter one, he's forever reminded, be strong and be of good courage. And well, that tells you that there were challenges, but he chose to be strong. He chose to be courageous, not in the absence of fear, but choosing to look at it and say, you know what, I'm going to live out my life. And I'm surprised that God forever has equipped us. And he even expands even the things that you thought you may do. You do even beyond. So every day I laugh at my life because I realize, wow, how did I do that? You know, and how did I even say that? You know, but I think in each one of us, there is something that God has put. And you'll be amazed that when you just open up your mouth or whatever it is that God has put to some, maybe it is creativity with their hands. For some, it's just, you know, listening to people. You know, I realize as good of a speaker I am, I'm not a good listener, you know. And some people are just good at that, that the moment you are done with them, you have taught them your whole life, you know. And so I think it's just being deliberate. And asking ourselves a question, what legacy will I leave behind? Because to each one of us, whether HIV positive or not, time is running away. And what do you want to be remembered of? Your children, your friends, and when history is written.
That's great. What legacy? I love that question. What for you has been kind of your theme verse or your theme Bible passage? Has there been, you know, one or a handful that you kind of always point back to and go, yeah, this is one that for me, God has knit on my heart?
Absolutely. I think they have been different at different stages of my life, but definitely one that was very clear. It is Psalms 18, verse 17, where it says, "I shall not die, but I shall live and proclaim the work of God." You know, and when you go under down that, paraphrasing, it says, "Even though you have chastened me severely, but I'll give you the glory." That's me paraphrasing there. I think sometimes as Christians, we get into this idea that if God is going to use me, it's going to be glorious. If I'm doing the work of God, it's going to be all the time triumphant. Hey, talk about John the Baptist. Look at the guy, you know, he paved the way for Christ, but he was eating honey. He was wearing this cloth of animals. And I think sometimes we have kind of boxed what success looks like. Mm-hmm. We have kind of boxed what being used of God looks like. And so for me, that verse has always kept me going. But also, as I've gone on, I think, especially with my work with an organization that I started to help orphans and vulnerable children in Zambia, very much intentional for rural children, Fountain of Life, it is realizing that although the vision may tarry, it shall surely come to pass. And that is in Habakkuk 2, verse 2 to 3. I love that verse, so that sometimes even when I feel I'm hitting a hard moment, when I feel I have all these ideas and they're taking forever, which can take forever, I think it's to remember that write it down as clear as it can be, even though time may pass. If the Lord has said it, it shall surely come to pass.
I love it. And it's crazy to me because we interviewed somebody right before this, and they mentioned that specific verse.
Is that right?
And they said that. And I'm past believing in coincidence. So it's fun for me to see God weave that theme into the conversation and into the things he does. So it's exciting to see just the little things he does like that.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I think sometimes young leaders have a challenge with is that you get so busy. Mm-hmm. There's so many different opportunities, and sometimes you say yes to the wrong ones. Mm-hmm. How are you staying focused on the things that you feel God has placed in your heart? And even though there's these other things that look good, they're not the great, and you've got to stay focused. How are you doing that?
I wouldn't even say that I'm an expert on that. I am learning. I think that is part of being a leader, being part of being Christian, is every day realizing, wow, there's something new to learn. Just this morning, as I was writing to a young man in Zambia who has just been accepted at the University of Zambia, and he has no income, he's an orphan, and I wrote to him and said, I hope you begin to remember or see the God's opportunity even in ordinary things. And the moment I sent that email, it began to ring bells to me that, Princess, I hope you do not forget to see God in the ordinary things. I think sometimes we only look at the bigger picture. If there are 1,000 people, then, whoa, that's God. Well, how about in the ordinary moments, in the conversation with my husband, in the conversation with my children, in the conversation on one-on-one on the plane? I think for me, those keep me grounded. It's realizing that wherever I am, you know, I am on stage with God.
Well, it's been great talking with you. They're giving me the wrap-up sign. Where can people find out more about you? Where can they connect with you? Websites? What's the best way to follow up with you?
Absolutely. Two ways. First of all, Warrior Princess is in Borders, even though it's closing, but it's still there in Barnes & Noble as well, well as on Amazon. So Warrior Princess. My website is princesszulu.com. Very easy. I'm very much available to do any speakings around wherever you may want me. And then also for the organization where we are working for orphans is fountainoflife-africa.org. Thank you for this opportunity.
Well, thank you. It was great meeting you today.
Thank you, John.
Appreciate it.